For 53 years and 42 days, my next guest entertained audiences everywhere from Chile to the United States and all points in between with his iconic show, Sábado Gigante, and his TV personality, Don Francisco, known worldwide. I got to be interviewed by Don Francisco, by Mario, was a true sign that you made it. And at the beginning of my radio career, I had the honor to be invited to his then Tonight Show, show that he had then, Don Francisco Presenta, to talk about my prank call to Fidel Castro. To sit across from him and be interviewed is like facing the oracle of TV and of life. But the man behind the Don and the Guinness Book World Record for the world's longest running TV variety show and the only one hosted by the same person in the world is more surprising and introspective than his outspoken and larger than life TV alter ego would suggest. When the lights and the cameras are off, he is still engaged in learning, innovating, growing, and contributing to improving people's lives. Mario really puts the human in humanitarian. His Teletón in Chile, which started 42 years ago, inspired by the Jerry Lewis Muscular Dystrophy Telethon in the United States, aids children with developmental disabilities all over Latin America and has raised more than $286 million and built 13 rehabilitation centers throughout Chile. Each year, in fact, he has managed to raise more money than the population of the entire country, which makes him more influential in the country's president. He has also exported this yearly telethon to Mexico and the United States, making it the most watched telethon in the world. Are you noticing a pattern as I'm introducing him? This icon is all about shattering world records and preconceived notions. Now at 81 years of age, as he prepares for his 43rd Teletón in Chile, we catch up with him in between CNN and Español tapings of his latest TV show, Don Francisco Reflexiones 2021, and still making a difference in young people's lives the only way he knows how. A lo gigante. This is Hola, my name is the podcast. Con Don Francisco. Hola, my name is. Hola, my name is. Hola. Hola, my name is. Mario, welcome. So good to see you. So good to hear you.
Good to see you. Good to hear you. You know, you are doing this interview in English. This is not my mother language. You speak perfect English. I'm going to make a lot of mistakes. I have to tell you something about the Teletón. We have raised in 42 years more than $1 billion. And we have built 14 hospitals in our country, and we have exported our Teletón to 16 countries in Central and South America. It was a little different than the presentation about the Teletón because I love the Teletón very much. I'm here because I'm doing the Teletón this year in the middle of the pandemic, in the middle of, we have a presidential election, we have some problems within the population, you know, to each other. They have different opinions, and we are always going hacia adelante.
The only way you know how, forward, always, always, always forward. And it's not surprising that I was short on the numbers because the Teletón keeps growing and the people keep donating. And that's number one. And number two, I would say, Don Francisco, you know, I wanted to do this interview in English because Latinos know and love you. But I think the world deserves, the English speaking world deserves to know and learn more from you as well. And your English is absolutely perfect. Mario, where does that sense of helping others come from? ¿De dónde nace ese deseo de querer ayudar a tantas personas?
Well, you know, when I started in 1962, before you were born. But after 15 or 16 years, I was very successful. And then I thought, how I can give back to the audience what the audience gave me? Because I never thought that my boss was the company that I worked for. My real boss was the audience that I had. Then I came up with many crazy ideas. And during the bicentennial in the United States, I was traveling around the country doing documentaries for the television for my program in Chile. And one night, one of my friends, my one colleague that was traveling with me, he said, come please and watch this. And this was a very important moment during the Telethon of Jerry Lewis, because, you know, Jerry Lewis and Dean Martin, they were separated for many years. And that was the moment when Frank Sinatra was bringing Dean Martin to the show, and they had, after 15 or 16 years, a big hug between Jerry Lewis and Dean Martin. And my friend told me, I think something similar to that, you have to do it in your country. But I brought the idea, not the exact same idea, because in the States, this is always the telethon, telethon was first with a pledge. In our case, was completely different. At that time, was now very popular, the credit cards in my country. Then we did the telethon a little different. And that telethon was very, extremely successful, the first one, in 1978.
A lot has changed since 1978. Yeah. Mario, where do you think you'd be today if it weren't for television?
Well, first, you said a lot has changed.
Yes.
The first that has changed, that I was 38 years old at that time. I'm now almost 81. Then that's a big change.
But you know what? Almost 81, but you have the energy and the thought process, and I would say the ganas of an 18-year-old. As a matter of fact, before we started talking here on the podcast, you told me you had just wrapped up in the gym. You keep yourself in shape in the gym for 81. Yeah. Let me tell you, you're doing pretty good, buddy.
Well, I work out every day. I walk about five miles every morning. And then I start working, because that's doing sport is very important to be in shape to work with 81 years. But I have the desire, the guts to do it every day. I love to do what I'm doing in CNN in Espanol. I love what I'm doing here in the Telethon. This year, I'm going to put aside because now we need to bring a new generation to the Telethon. But what we did in 42 years is amazing, amazing. We start with serving about, when we start, they served about 5% of the population only of the main city, Santiago. Today, we're serving 93% of any child that needs rehab in the country. We have already rehabbed about 100,000 kids, 100,000 families. Now we have 31,000 families that they are in the different 14 hospitals that we have around the country.
Remarkable. Where would Mario be today if it weren't for television?
I really don't know. Mary, traveling around the world, I like to do that also.
In your segment, La Cámara Viajera on Sábado Gigante.
Cámara Viajera. If I'm doing La Cámara Viajera for myself, you know, I filmed in 168 countries during my long career. Next year, 2022, I'm going to be 60 years on television.
And so many years in television, but what I find remarkable is that you've always kept your same crew, el mismo equipo de trabajo. How have you managed to do that?
Some of them, you know, the basic of the group are like Maria Luisa. She works with me 30 years. Marcelo Amunati, he's the editor of everything. He's about 40 years with me. Well, most of these people, but we have young people around too. That's very important. By the way, I saw television for the first time in 1959 in my humble hotel in 32nd and Broadway, still there, the same name, Stanford Hotel. At that time was a hotel for Hispanics. Today is a hotel for Korean people, mostly Asian people. And in that room, I saw a radio very similar to the radio that we had in my house, with the only difference that in front of the radio, instead of having a piece of cloth like in my house, they had a glass. And when I put it on and I saw that was a radio that you were able to see and to watch at the same time, I said, this is the future, not what I'm studying. Because I came to the States because my father sent me to be a men's clothing designer. But I thought always, That's the future. Television.
Hola, my name is. Hola, my name is. Hola, my name is. Hola, my name is.
Remarkable. Do you remember what the first thing you saw on TV that really captivated you?
I think it was a show with Steve Allen. Steve Allen was one of the big hosts at that time, like Jack Parr or Art Linkletter or Johnny Carson.
Now, a lot has changed, for sure. Does it surprise you how much entertainment has evolved since the first time you saw that TV set and listened to that radio? You know, and it's, I find it fascinating that more people now watch YouTube and TikTok than traditional TV. Does that surprise you? Did you ever think TV and entertainment was going to evolve so much than when you first saw Allen on that black and white TV set?
No, never, never. I never thought that this will came, because at that time, to get a telephone, a regular telephone in my country, we were waiting about 15 or 20 years. And now everybody has this telephone. And this telephone is a computer. And the future, what I think the future of television is, that television is will be connected to the telephone. That you're going to have a lot of interaction between your telephone and the screen.
You have always credited listening to your audience as the reason for your longevity. Has it been difficult to listen to audiences, especially today, given the problems, the conflicts that we have, how divisive politics have become, the internet trolls and cancel culture? How do these times compare to other historical moments that you've been privileged to observe from your stage? Are you hopeful? And what advice do you have for entertainers and for journalists today?
Well, always was difficult to read what the audience wanted to have. But today is more difficult because there is a, como se dice, una brecha, ¿ves? Ayúdame con una brecha en inglés.
Te la debo, brecha, like...
algo que nos separa, divide.
Yeah, a divide, there's always this, right, there's a wall, that divides us.
Yeah, it's the technology divide us. Because for me, it's very difficult to learn. And the kids today, they are born with the technology. It's different. And technology is very important to communication.
It's almost like a double-edged sword, right? It's very good for us, but at the same time, very bad if we don't know how to manage it. And I don't know, like parents these days, you see them, you have iPads babysitting kids.
No, I was in a restaurant about 5 days ago, and I saw a baby handling a telephone much better than I. And I asked the mother, how old is that baby? 18 months. 18 months. And she knows how to handle the telephone. And for me, it's so difficult. Y eso es una brecha.
Yes.
¿Cómo se dice brecha
gap.
En inglés?
Gap. That's the word gap. I owe you. Brecha. There's a gap.
Brecha.
There you go.
That's a big gap. Yeah, ahora me acordé. Gap. You see? when it's not your mother language, you forget words that you're not using every day.
Pero eso es admirable. You speak English perfectly. You speak Spanish perfectly. You speak German perfectly. Any other languages that we don't know about?
Well, I used to speak perfect Portuguese. Not perfect, very good. And also Italian. But I think the last 5 years, I had no practice. Then I'm weak in both languages. But I spoke 5 languages. Even I speak a dialect, Yiddish also.
Very good. Mario, getting back to technology, you think technology has hurt us or helped us as humans, as humanity is concerned?
I think everything that is new is helping us. Because when I start, the, ¿cómo se dice in English and in Spanish? El término medio de vida.
Okay, the median lifespan?
Eso. was about 67. Well, today is over 80. Then why? Technology. A big percentage of that is the technology.
You have always been a person that pursues people's stories and help other people tell their stories. And I think you're a man of great conviction, and you've always followed the facts. Does it surprise you that so many people ignore facts and that they pick and choose, ignore science and pick and choose what they want to accept as real?
Well, people, they need being more educated. Because this is education.
Sin embargo, mucha gente tienen ahí en las manos ese poder googlear cualquier información, buscar, estudiar, y hay gente que decide no educarse, e ignoran, ¿no? La realidad que nos...
Yeah, you know, many people, they don't want to be vaccinated. When everybody tells you, everybody that knows about health tells you that there is nothing more than a vaccine for the virus.
Mm-hmm.
But there are many people that said, no, I don't want to be vaccinated. That's crazy.
Hola, my name is. Hola, my name is. Hola, my name is. Hola, my name is.
How did COVID affect you personally and your family and your loved ones? What's the biggest lesson that you learned during COVID-19?
Well, I was in quarantine for 7 months here, and now I'm here in Santiago de Chile. Then I was another 5 months in quarantine in Miami. And being in your house, well, I saw more my wife than in the last 20 years.
So in that sense, it was good.
Yeah, in that sense, we were together the whole day. But it was time also to have reflections about your life. Going back and forth, and what you were doing, what you're gonna do, how you're gonna live the next years. I have now a therapist twice a week that I talk with him about how to handle the life from here to the future.
And would you mind sharing that with us a little bit? Those conversations you're having with your therapist, have you always had a therapist, or is this now new?
No, that's the first time in my life. Then even I have to learn how to understand how is the type of therapy that you do. I do it virtually, not presentially. And I don't know really how it works. First question from my therapist was, do your wife knows you? And I said, oh, my wife knows me perfect. Second question, Your wife knows Don Francisco, the person that works on television? I stopped for 15, 30 seconds, I don't know how long. And I said, no, she doesn't know nothing about Don Francisco. That was the first question. And that was the first time that I made myself that question. And that was important. Then I learned what it means, this type of therapy, that you have to learn about yourself, because this is a different life that I'm starting now with my white hair that I dyed for so many years, not doing the same that I did for 50 something years on television. Even I work on television, having a little different life in the middle of the pandemia.
Mental health is very, very important.
Muy importante. Very important.
¿Esto es algo que tú buscaste, Mario, o alguien te lo sugirió?
No. I was thinking, I believe that these times that are coming are different. I need some help. And that help, I think, has to be by a professional. When my car is broken, where send my car? To the dealer, right? Well, I need to go to the dealer.
Sure. Nothing wrong with taking that car to the... It has to go to the car for the oil change and for the tune-up, or else the car is not going to function.
Right.
Now, I'm curious if you had to go see a therapist more because, you know, you went into retirement and because you missed so much time in the TV studio, or because you spent a year and a half during COVID locked up with your wife?
No, because I'm starting, because, in general, I'm starting a new life. I don't know if you had any time a therapist in your life.
You know, I will be totally honest with you. I have been considering it lately, and especially during the pandemic, because it's very similar to what you're explaining. It's the pandemic really changed all of us, right? It's a whole different perspective. We worry about different things. We're stressing different things now. It's really about life or death, and very difficult times that we're living with politically. And when you're doing a radio show every day, and we're here to entertain, but also to inform, but things are so polarizing, and people are just so mean and evil. And it's, I think the pandemic brought out the best in people and the worst in people. And I've been telling myself, I think it's time for me to talk to a professional as well. I think that would be very helpful for me.
And
I'm still yet to pick up the phone or send that email and contact that professional, but I'm going to do it. And I think you've motivated me.
Are you worried about doing that?
Not worried. You know, sometimes you think, are people going to think I'm crazy if I admit that I'm going to talk to a psychologist? You know, there's a lot of stigma around there. Hay mucho estigmatismo alrededor de cuando tú le dices a una persona, voy a hablar con un profesional. But there's nothing wrong with it. I'm going to do it, though.
No, I think it's, if you do it, you are not crazy. You are smart. That's what I think. That what I think now. Maybe I need it much before than I just started about 6 months ago.
You could have benefited from it long time ago in your career.
Could be. Yes, could be.
What's your opinion? What's our biggest flaw as human beings?
I really don't know if I can give a good answer to that.
While you think about it, what if I told you what I've learned from you and what I've learned, something very similar when he interviewed me, the late Larry King, a great broadcaster as well.
Yeah. And
you and him both told me very similar things. Listen, listen more. When you listen, you learn. And Larry King told me, you know, Enrique, I never learned anything while I was talking. And you told me something very similar when I first started in my career and I got to meet you for the first time, and about being prepared, estar siempre preparado, and I appreciate that. And I, yes. I think that one of our biggest flaws, in my opinion, as humans, is that we don't listen enough.
Yeah, I think in my case, I listen a lot. I'm always watching. I'm always trying to learn. Because that's the only way that you can improve your life. Even though I think in this step of my life, I needed a therapist. Because it was one of the biggest changes in my life. When I accepted my white hair, then I accepted my age, and then I accepted a new step in my life.
What's next for Don Francisco? What are you most looking forward to besides the awesome Teletón that you're preparing for in this very moment?
I like to be successful in that the reflexiones that I do for CNN en Español. I like to be successful this year in about 15 days with the Teletón in the middle of the presidential election, in the middle of the pandemia. We have a commitment with 31,000 kids. They are now served in the 14 hospitals that we have along the country. And for the future, I'm trying to be better, a better person, getting more close to my whole family. I have 9 grandchildren. Some of them, they are married already. They are from 25 to 35. Next year, I'm going to be married for 60 years. And then I'm preparing for the last, la última etapa, the last, ¿cómo diríamos, etapa?
Your last chapter?
Yeah, it can be the last chapter. Preparing for the last chapter.
What does that last chapter, how do you envision that last chapter? And why the last chapter?
No, not the last. I don't know if the last chapter or two chapters for the last, for the chapters that are for me.
Don Francisco, you're a remarkable man. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. I prefer much better to do that in Spanish. I told you that at the beginning. Te puedo explicar mucho mejor todo.
Pero lo explicaste muy bien en inglés.
I did my best.
You did awesome.
Thank you very much for the interview and be very successful.
Thank you, Don Francisco. I think the world deserves to know more about you, and we all have, you're just an abundance of information, and you're a great example of the Latino immigrant story. De un joven de 17 años que la primera vez, the first time, you know, just your life is just remarkable, and how you turns, you know, a vision into un deseo, into something so big that you never even planned was going to be so big, and that you continuously are just honest and transparent with people, and that inspires other people to better themselves as well.
Okay, muchas gracias, Enrique.
Gracias, Mario.
Gracias por entrevistarme. Thank you very much for the interview.
Se te quiere mucho, Mario. Muchas gracias.
Gracias, adiós. Bye, chao.
Hola, my name is. Hola, my name is.